This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is World Cafe. My name is Reina Duras. When the French electronic duo of Gaspard Auguet and Xavier Deronet released their very first single as Justice in 2005, it sounded like nothing else. That's Waters of Nazareth from Justice, which was eventually included on the duo's full-length album Cross a couple years later. Cross launched their careers, was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards, and still sounds as thrilling as it did when it first came out. But Justice has never been content to keep doing the same thing. On their 4th studio album, Hyperdrama, Gaspard and Xavier welcome a bunch of collaborators to mix things up, like Tame Impala's Kevin Parker, Miguel, and Thundercat. They also made their own homemade samples, which they get into in our conversation coming up. You'll hear songs from Hyperdrama in this session, but I wanted to begin by playing their Grammy-nominated track from Cross. This is D-A-N-C-E, Justice, on World Cafe. This is World Cafe. I'm Reina Duras, joined by Justice, Xavier Deronet, and Gaspard Auguet. They have a new album out now called Hyperdrama. Xavier, Gaspard, welcome to the World Cafe.
Hello.
Could I have you each introduce yourselves, say your full name so people know whose voice is who on the radio?
Sure. Hi, I'm Gaspard Auguet from Justice.
And my name is Xavier.
Beautiful. Thank you. So it has been 8 years since releasing your last studio album, Woman. You did work on other projects in the meantime, but when you returned to make Hyperdrama, I know you set some rules. And one of those rules that even if you had ideas, you wouldn't do anything until the first day of recording. So why was it so important to be in the studio together to get started at the exact same time?
Because like the way we function, I would say that 99% of us making music together is really Gaspard bouncing back on my ideas and me bouncing back on Gaspard's ideas. Because even the most insignificant details, they kind of like become like important at some point. And it's more fun also. Like it has to be fun, like making music together. And we don't make music because we have to. We make music because we want to have fun while making it. And we are neighbors in Paris, so it's really easier just to meet every day at the studio and make things together.
Yeah. Okay, well, I want to talk about one of the songs, One Night, All Night, which features Tame Impala, a.k.a. Kevin Parker. And I know this one took maybe the longest to make. When you brought the idea for One Night, All Night to Kevin, how did you explain to him what you wanted to do and what you wanted the song to be like?
Actually, when we made the demo, we didn't want to have vocals on it. I mean, we wanted to have vocals, but we wanted to have just like maybe 2 words. And what is the word in English? And to make it like a pedal, you know? And he was not supposed... Actually, we didn't think of him for that song at the beginning. But once, while we were working on Neverender, he heard it. We played him the demo, and he was like, "Okay, this like I have an idea. Like the main idea is like to try as many ideas as possible, and then you just like filter at the end." And so he started like hearing things, and we told him what like our idea for that song was to have like a vocal sample on loop on it, and for us one of the big like. Something we love about One Night, even when we first made the demo without like having Kimin in mind, was that it's a very simple loop, maybe the most simple loop we've ever made, and that there's enough variations so that it feels both like you are in the loop world, but at the same time it's like constantly evolving with like small details and everything, and we're like, cool, like how about we try to make it sound like we're a bit like travelers from the future, and we found like an unused Kevin Parker song. We just like took one loop out of it and we put it on our own song and just evolved like this. And when we played the song to him, there was already like the techno part and the disco part. So like all the musical ideas were already in the song apart from his vocal lines. And so we started like working on that song with that perspective of having like the more like a disco loop possible on the disco part, and then extracting this and putting it on the electronic part.
It's interesting because you have the lyrics, which kind of repeat, they loop, but that is paralleled by the structure of the song, where you have the techno, then the disco, then the techno again, and it feels like that loops as well. Why were you so interested in that idea of creating an endless loop?
Mostly because we wanted to get away from the traditional like pop song structure to work in a kind of a collage approach.
We were really thinking while working on the record, how can we really condense our music to like the essence of it? It's a bit like when you press like 200 kilos of olives to have like one bottle of olive oil.
Yeah.
How can we reduce our music to the simplest and to have like this this loop that we feel that we could listen to forever? And that's also a big part of what electronic music is, actually, is try to find like that one thing, that one loop that is very simple, but that's really like the oil of the essence of the music.
Well, let's listen to the song One Night, All Night, featuring Tame Impala. This is Justice on World Cafe. Justice on World Cafe with One Night, All Night, featuring Tame Impala. This is World Cafe. Xavier and Gaspar of Justice are here with me, Reina Duras, today. So you created your own samples for this album, and that's something you wanted to do for a long time. Creating your own samples, how is it different from just playing your own music and recording that? What does it mean to create your own samples?
We just wrote like music, and then in order to call it a sample, we just like looped what we had recorded before, and just because the principle of the loop ends up being completely different than when you for example, like if you're playing forever, it's not gonna sound the same as taking like a very short beat and put it in loop, because you have a lot of harmonics and a very different texture, and we are also like playing with speed and like recording something very fast and then pitch it down.
Sometimes it's almost black magic, like playing a chord with like instruments on your track and then playing the same thing, mixing it, exporting it, then bringing it back into your song. It doesn't sound the same because you have like double the amount of processing on everything. It becomes its own part. At the end, you have like a texture that doesn't sound like you've been playing instruments on the record anymore. It sounds like a whole. It sounds more compact. It sounds more fluid. It sounds more everything. And for this record, we wanted to have like this kind of one block of things moving together. Everything is really like a blob, you know, like moving like very slowly and you know, like going into the corners and just something a bit sticky.
Could you point to a track, maybe we could play a clip where you have one of like maybe your favorite sample that you made for this record where we could hear it?
Incognito is full of them, for example. Like even like if you take the main riff of Incognito, the E, it's like basically it's one sample of voice, like the E, and then like all the musical parts, it's a blend of like five different synths that we played to make like the chords, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just to get the right movement. You can't achieve it by humanly playing those things. You have to make a lot of cuts and a lot of automation so you have this sort of movement. And a lot of grooves on this on this album, even if it doesn't sound unnatural, they are unnatural and they are like really machine made.
Yeah, I love the idea of a human trying to play it and not being able to. Let's listen to a bit of Incognito. This is Justice on World Cafe. That was some of Incognito from Justice's new album, Hyperdrama. Even though you focused on using your own homemade samples, you did use some samples from songs, from other songs on the album. For instance, you sampled the choir from the 1978 Chris Rainbow song, Dear Brian. That sounds like this.
Hypnotized, the airwaves in a trance. The boys are milling silently outside the local dance. The operator finally.
So that's a bit of Dear Brian by Chris Rainbow. Justice samples that song in a track on their new album Hyperdrama called Dear Alan. Could you tell us about that sample and how you used it?
Chris Rainbow, it's a guy we've always loved because everything sounds so hi-fi and super well produced, and so we always love that song called "Dear Brian," and so we took some part of the choirs and rearranged it to have a different like chord progression, and then the little like. The little joke about the name Dear Alan is some kind of hint to Alan Brax, which is another guy who really has the loop science in the sense that he always finds like the perfect like thing to extract from another track. And he has this very melancholic quality in his choice of chords and melodies. Yeah, for those who don't know, Alan Brax is like the guy who made Stardust. Music Sounds Better With You with Thomas and Benjamin. And he found like that Chaka Khan sample that makes like the Stardust song. But yeah, like Chris Rainbow is like, he really has this radio sound that we grew up with, where things are like over compressed. It really sounds like being in a car. And it's funny to see that even in 1978, there was already some like post Beach Boys music, the same way like ELO was like post Beatles music. They were the guys already making music inspired by these people, but making it in a modern way, which is a lot of what we've done before. Maybe not on this record, but it's a process that's very common today. And these guys were already like pioneers of like making this kind of post something music.
Let's listen to Dear Alan. We'll come back and we'll talk some more. This is Justice on World Cafe. ¶¶ On World Cafe, I'm talking to Gaspar and Xavier from Justice today. That song is called Dear Alan. It's from their new album, Hyperdrama. You have a sample of a human choir. That song, you mix human music with electronic music, even though it's samples. And that happens on the album in a lot of different ways, kind of like we were talking about. What is it about that juxtaposition of human and electronic art that interests you?
It's difficult to say because for the most part, when there are like electronic parts on the album, it's all electronic. And actually, we love the idea of like making a record that's maybe more like electronic based than our previous albums. But we are never fully satisfied with just what we get out of a machine or a computer. It's really rare that we plug a machine or we do something and we're like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. So we often feel that we need to tweak a lot of things, more so in the electronic world than in the human world. We still find it a bit stiff and not in the right, not in a good way when we only stay in the electronic world. So we have like to do a lot of like cuts and movements everywhere. So it feels more like a fluid and more just more adapted to our taste.
This all kind of brings to mind the discussions about artificial intelligence that are happening right now. I mean, people talk about it a lot, especially in relation to art. Like, can a computer make a song that feels as real as one that a human being makes? I would love to get your thoughts on that, like the interaction between people and computers. And if AI is something that you are interested in, if you're worried about it, if you are excited by it.
It's very interesting. In music and in art in general, we, for the moment, and let's see how it goes, but we've always felt that the equipment, it doesn't really matter, you know. Like the biggest part of like, and I say that because we used to be graphic designers before making music. Our real job is like to be graphic designers. And to us, whether it was in graphic design or in music, like the prompt has always been the most important part of what we're doing. Like having the idea and knowing how to transform your idea into an image or into music. That's like, once you have this, for us, you have made like 90% of the job. Like, we all have the same computer. We use the same softwares. We all use the same instruments. So basically, the difference is what do you make these tools make for you? And the AI, it's a bit the same thing. It's that, okay, like an AI can make you like an image that looks like a painting. But who cares, you know? Now, the thing is that, are you going to make something interesting with the fact that an AI is capable of producing a painting? Or are you going to make something interesting with the fact that an AI can make like a photograph or extend like the surroundings of a photograph or whatever? Or are you going to make something interesting with the fact that an AI can sound like Michael Jackson? Like, in most cases, probably not. And in a few cases, then maybe yes. And if it's good, it's good. Like, in the early 2000s, when like the owning a computer started to become a generality, like it became very democratic, a lot of people were saying, yeah, now everybody can be a graphic designer because everyone can afford like a computer and Photoshop and Illustrator. But the truth is, after 10 years of like everybody owning Photoshop and Illustrator, like the ratio between good design and bad design was still the same than 20 years ago and like 40 years ago. And that's the same thing with music, you know. It's like, oh, everybody can be a musician because you just need a laptop. You just don't need the laptop. You need to have a laptop, but you mainly need to have a good sensitivity.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Gaspar and Xavier of Justice today on the World Cafe. I want to go out on another song where you bring the human element into the music in a really impactful way, the song Saturnine, which I think sounds quite different from what people might expect from a Justice record. You guys have even said that yourself. And you have R&B singer Miguel on this song. You had a clear idea of what you wanted his voice to sound like on this track. So could you talk about making Saturnine?
Yeah, actually, that's a good example of like a human interaction that we didn't mess up too much with, because this was the part that really excited us. But we didn't have a clear idea until we were in the studio with him and he started to sing. And he was like behind the glass, you know, and we're on the other side of the booth. And we heard him sing Euro and we're like, oh, like this sounds too good to be altered in any way. So we told him immediately, we're like, okay, like you sound really, really good like this. And that's a quality that we love about him and about his music in general. Like listening to his music, you can almost like feel him like whispering in your ears, you know, like very, a bit too close sometimes while you are like, you know, but that's very sexy and appealing at the same time. And as soon as he started singing, it was clear to us that we wanted his vocal to be like very frontal, very simple and very underproduced.
With Saturnine, starring Miguel, it's Justice on World Cafe. Saturnine, starring Miguel on vocals. That's a track from the new Justice album called Hyperdrama. This is World Cafe. Xavier Deronet and Gaspar Auger of Justice have been my guests today. Guys, thank you so much for being here and taking the time for the chat.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
That was a very good conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm Reina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
On this week's episode of Wildcard, actor Chris Pine tells us it's okay not to be perfect.
My film got absolutely decimated when it premiered, which brings up for me one of my primary triggers or whatever is like not being liked.
I'm Rachel Martin. Chris Pine on how to find joy in imperfection. That's on NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, the game where cards control the conversation.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.